Waking up, fairly rested, I pried my eyes open and looked at my time-space indicator, which through fuzzy morning eyes I could see it was 9:01 a.m. I'm late, I thought, for my nap. Like I was getting up before 10, I fell back into a guiltless slumber. Waking up at 10:35, the first thing that came to mind was how horny I was, but also hungry, very hungry. Man's eternal, internal dilemma. Deep, I thought, and reactivated my steam shower for sanitation purposes. As I showered, going over the details of the evening before in my head, "Mother," I exclaimed, as I pumped some steam shampoo into my hair. "Yes, P-1222. I said, "How hot was that last night?" Mother paused, then said, "That was a 9.1 on the scale." I said, "I know. Just wanted to hear you say that." I fist pumped the air and shouted, "Yeah," to myself. It was easy for me to make compartmentalizations of the evening. I just focused on everything but the poop. In fact, I had replayed the scenario so many times in my head already, I was like, "What poop? Deleted. Nope." At the end, it's just a perfect evening with a gorgeous sex bot. I would be adding a lot of cum to this memory in the future. My wrist activated my door, which slid open. Stepping out as it closed, "Lock," I said. "I'll take a few less surprises today. Now for my voracious appetite." I had a feeling the space cafe missed me. I'd like to go piss with my friend Maxine. I'm sure she missed me also. Clapping my hands twice, my sandy path lay before me. Walking through the space cafe's entry, sand still dusting off my flops, I had a smile on my face, ready for Maxine's reception. I sat down at my favorite stool and waited. The service was bad here. It wasn't even part of the inefficiency programming. It was like someone took the time to train the bots to be extra slow and crappy. The double western doors that Maxine always sought during one of our difficult conversations lay motionless. I waited. The screen lit up. I glanced at the digital menu. The special looked good. Scallops, egg benny. Yum, I thought. Then I spoke. "Number 13, over easy, wheat toast and milk, tall," I said. I was a creature of habit. I couldn't wait to battle Max for my ketchup. Then the saloon doors opened, but it was not Maxine that would appear. An attractive bot in her early 30s. There were bags under her eyes. She looked tired and worn out, like she had just narrowly won the battle with her four kids that she raised alone, no thanks to her good-for-nothing, deadbeat baby daddy. I didn't know for sure, but the look in her eyes held incalculable hardship and struggle. She was cute. I'd totally fuck her. I will totally fuck her. Mental note added, looking for her name tag, Tracy. God, even her name sounded of hardship. Add her to the list, I told myself. "Tracy," I said, "how nice to meet you." "Pleasure," she said, with a big fake smile. "I see you've ordered. Can I get you some of our famous coffee?" "Yeah," I said, "but tell me, where's Maxine?" "Oh, well, they didn't tell me much this morning, but I'm her replacement." "What?" She shrugged her shoulders and turned to re-enter the kitchen. I was puzzled. Tracy came back with my coffee and plate of food, set it down and then setting up napkin roll down. She wasn't bad, I thought. "So really, you have to tell me more," I said, "about Maxine." She looked up. "Mister, I really can't. I'm not supposed to. You're kidding me." Her eyes were pleading for me to let her off the hook. When I said, "This just seems fishy," she broke and said, "Fishy is an understatement." I wrinkled my brow, listening, Then she started crying. Maxine was on O-Deck last night. She continued, O-Deck was ocean deck, where a 30-meter deep, kilometer-squared ocean was maintained. There were 23,000 sea creatures hitching a ride to the new world. The ocean humidified the entire starship. It was one of the wonders of the world to fill, involving the first ever use of a space elevator for the transportation of the salt water. The ocean was 3/4 of the way full before the space elevator failed. The cable fell back to Earth, destroying the city of Seattle, Washington. The cable had been fixed to the ground where the space needle had been. It was also known that failure was an option, and that Seattle was expendable. All those poor, blue-haired people and their coffee-making abilities were lost. The nation mourned. Tracy was still crying. It was painful to watch. Hey, tell me what happened. She's dead. She was swimming, and a shark bit her in half. They only recovered half. Half of her. My mind raced. Which half? I asked. Tracy looked at me and said, the bottom half. I let out a sigh of relief. Oh, good, I thought. They saved the good part. I pushed my plate away. I wasn't hungry anymore. I paid and left. Stepping onto my sand pathway, the sky was gray and overcast. I clapped my hands together and it went back to black. Why would a shark eat a droid? What an absolute waste of a piece of ass. I walked into the church. Father was pacing. The stage was empty. Tutu, did you hear? I said, yeah, about the shark attack. He nodded. He said, can you believe the bots are so upset? They're forming a sex strike for a mourning period. A sex strike? Are you kidding? I said. He waved his hand at the empty stage. Full stop, his motion said. We have to get our own drinks? I asked. He laughed. No. Clapping his hands together, a giant man appeared. Father, he said in a low tone. A-1400, we will be requiring drinks, whiskey, ice. Bring the bottle. The large man stared at Father, then turned and powerfully walked away. I said, damn, where's he get his HGH synthesized? Father looked at me and said, we needed a bouncer. We don't need one yet, but soon this room will be full of rousty fun. He, making eye contact with me, said, get this. He works for a little piece of the action and free pussy. He's usually pretty docile. I make sure the girls milk him at regular intervals. I look back. I wouldn't want to see him mad. Father said, that's exactly the point. A-1400 approached with a tray balanced near his left shoulder on his fingertips. It was a striking pose. He looked like a giant butler. He lowered the tray to the table that we stood by. There were three glasses half filled with ice. He pulled the cork from the top of the whiskey bottle and poured the first two drinks to the height of the ice, then started to slowly fill the third glass while staring at Father. The glass filled to the very top of the cup. It was so full, there was a bubble of water tension. He grabbed the glass, still staring at Father, and drank from it, then grabbed the bottle from the tray. He started to leave. He looked back, chewing on a piece of ice. Hey, the drink was a great idea. You're gonna have to get the next round for yourself. He walked away. Wow, I said. There's a keeper. Father didn't say anything, but looked at the drink he had in front of him and took a sip. He is a work in progress. A week? I slammed my glass down to the table. The sex bots are striking for a whole week? Father cradled his head in agreement. I know. I'm already not looking forward to jerking myself off another three times tomorrow. I nodded in agreement. Then the walls became alive. It was the 9:30 Starship news. The shark attack had been buzzing all day long, playing on repeat with swim advisories. There was an update on the story. New footage recovered from Maxine's point of view. She was treading water, looking from the smooth dark surface and into the sky that was dimly lit with shimmering stars. Then a tall dark fin sliced the surface right in front of her. It was immediately that she panicked, splashing the water, trying to swim to shore. It was hard to see the shore with her arms flopping around. Then she screamed, but was cut short, as the scream was one moment above water and the next below, loud bubbles racing from her mouth. She looked down. Her lower half was being consumed by an incredibly large shark. She could feel it squeezing. She could hear crunching and breaking of her inner workings. The water turned neon green with cooling agent that leaked from her. Then she was free. She pulled the water with her arms. Her head broke the surface, which was covered with a slick of green. She looked towards the shore and tried to kick her legs. There was no movements. It must have discontinued her drivetrain. She looked fearful for the water predator, but determined. The fin she spotted again. Then it splashed its tail, slapping water right next to her. Oh no, she thought. Rising from the water, her lower half emerged. She realized her body was two pieces. As she looked to the shore, the shark striking her torso head-on. The eye sensors a blur of teeth and bubbles, an inky green mist. Oh man, I said, we have to do something. Father spoke. Every minute she is in there, the shark's stomach acids are doing something. It won't be long till it dissolves her soft tissues. I knew her. Maxine, I said. She had become a Wednesday night thing for me for a few months now. He put his hand on my shoulder. Pull yourself together. She was a 5 in one piece. They saved her pussy, I heard, he said, trying to comfort me. I slammed my head down. There's a sex strike, and that fucking shark is dissolving my friend in its stomach. He asked, so what are you going to do about it? I said, now enraged with spirit, I'm going to catch the motherfucker. Captain Daddy is brought to you by the Anchor Podcast app and Spotify. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and hit the bell for notifications. Remember, spread the daddy sauce. Tell a friend.